Android App Addicts, episode number 360. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. Thank you guys for joining us. Let's get into the action, shall we? After we introduce the co-host, starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Hey, Steve. His name was the Crimson Chin. That was his name. And On the same cartoon, they had a fictitious restaurant called Cake and Bacon. If I ever strike it rich, I'm going to open up a restaurant called Cake and Bacon. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. And you're talking about Jay Leno, right? Crimson Chin?
Yes. He was the Crimson Chin. His sidekick was Clef.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't remember that one.
I'm doing pretty good. I cannot complain tonight.
Good, good. You found any new badly named restaurants in your area?
I haven't seen much lately, but we have a restaurant called The Untouchables with the Pizza 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 Place, and they claim they have the best pizza in town, like voted by who knows what, but it's not.
Voted by their family and cousins and stuff.
Exactly. It's like their daughter goes, "Daddy, your pizza's the best." Right. And then they'll put that up on the sign.
Well, here's the restaurant tip. Just once, at least once. Go into a truly Asian restaurant and look for the salt and pepper tofu. In order.
It's good.
Unbelievably, surprisingly delicious.
Interesting. All right. I'm not going to do that, but I'll take your word for it.
Not gonna. I was thinking I'm going to. I have to. Now.
And it comes straight from Martin Obando's suggested.
Oh,
list.
You've never tried it then, Dora?
Yes, I was there when I was out in Portland. Went to a place and he said, "Here, try this." And I was picking it up. I said, "What the hell is this?" He said, "Salt and pepper tofu." And I immediately thought he tricked me. Oh. And I ate it and I was like, "Wow, that's damn good. Give me more."
I can't think I've never seen that at anywhere, ever.
Me neither. Not titled that, but I don't even, once I see tofu, I just look the other way.
Okay, well, put your phone close to the computer. Okay, Google, locate salt and pepper tofu. There you go.
So is the Unbootables pizza joint better than Artichoke Basili's pizza
in
San Francisco?
No. Okay. Artichoke Basili's will probably kick its butt. In fact, I would like to go to Artichoke Basili's.
I would too. I think we should road trip.
All right. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
I'm just glad to be back, boys. Missed you guys last week. And it makes me itch, when I get away from you guys too, or I start beeping. I gotta get back.
All right. Well, we missed you too.
Thanks.
I actually broke out in a rash because you weren't here.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got some topical ointment if you need.
Thanks. I might use that.
I could give it to you while we're on our road trip to Artichoke Basili's Pizza.
All right. You're driving.
Cool.
All right. We're going to read some. Oh, and by the way, I'm Steve Cherubino. That's my name. Let's read some of your emails you guys sent us. This one's from Jules. He says, "Hey, Steves and Eric, I may be able to shed some light on the use of trainings." This is in reference to me going off on a tangent and saying I hate the word trainings. He says, "Now, I can't be sure, of course, but living in the Czech Republic as I do, I can't help but notice the everyday use of the word training as the countable plural trainings. It's the way the Czechs and other Slovak nations use the term to express things as diverse as regular hockey practice or business training sessions. Note the UK spelling. Anyway, it seems to me that American English has been heavily influenced in the past by Central Europeans, and maybe this is also behind some new usage of common words." Okay, that's about it for that. He's got some app suggestions, but I want to stop there and just reflect on this for a second.
I know.
So he's basically saying that the Czechs have been using the word trainings the way I don't like it. And he's saying that we got it from them or from European countries. Is that what he's saying? I just want to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. Okay. And I will say bleed over is more possible than ever with the speed of the World Wide Web and the virtual superhighway.
And people traveling everywhere now. There's plenty of Czechs here, and there's plenty of Americans there. It's probably just people come and go and take a little bit of language with them.
No. I don't like it. I blame the hipsters. I don't think it came over from Czechs. I think it's a hipster word because we don't say aluminium. Yeah, we don't say aluminium.
Yeah.
We won't.
Who invented aluminum? Anyway.
Dude, okay. Nobody. It's been there before we existed. Nobody. Really? Nobody invented it.
Oh, I thought aluminum was some kind of a manufactured. I mean, we used to have tin foil because we knew how to make tin. I thought we learned how to make aluminum, and that's why now it's aluminum foil. We used to have tin cans, and now it's aluminum cans.
Right.
I thought that was something Alcoa invented.
What?
Alcoa. Right, it's like...
Yeah, it's a big factory down the street.
Okay.
What's the word I'm thinking about when you when you combine two metals? What is that called?
Alloy.
An alloy, yeah.
Aluminum. It has alloy in the word almost.
So you thought aluminum was an alloy?
Yeah.
Like nickel and tin equals aluminum.
Could be.
Right.
Yeah.
Like something. It's like that joke. It's like that mind thing where you say, let's try this actually real quick.
Okay.
Say 10, 10 times.
Pen?
10, like the number 10. Oh. Say it 10 times.
10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Right. What's an aluminum can made out of?
Tin.
Aluminum.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, really? You did that, Dor?
That's the same thing like saying, wow. That's like the same, what was the other one that my son got me on? He said, spell most, M-O-S-T.
Yeah, right.
Most,
repeat after me, most.
Right.
Most.
Post.
Most.
Coast.
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 What do you put in a toaster?
Toast.
Bread.
Bread.
You got me that time.
Okay.
All right.
Aluminum.
Say rubber mountains after everything I say.
Rubber mountains.
What's to the north?
Rubber
mountains.
No. We can't do this joke.
Okay. Hans Christian Oersted, it looks like his name is, of course, I'm butchering, from Denmark, who was born in Denmark, died in Denmark. He's the guy who discovered aluminum.
Oh.
Okay. And I have no idea how he pronounced it.
Then the Brits probably have a better, it's probably their way then, I suppose, on the pronunciation then.
Okay. All right.
Because they're closer to Denmark than we are.
All right. I'll give them that. Let's get to the apps that Jules talks about here. He says, this should be classed under your essential app section. It's Shush. It's an absolute lifesaver as far as I'm concerned. That's S-H-U-S-H. He has an exclamation point at the end. I'm not sure if the app actually has that. It might. I put it in the chat.
Yeah.
He says, I got an app pick for you. It's a realistic RC simulator. He put parentheses around a T in the middle of the word simulator.
Nice.
So it's like stimulator. For model aircraft, it's really only for enthusiasts, but it's well known by such folk. Let me put that in the chat because I remember a remote controlled plane app that I freaking love.
No. This looks definitely better than the one that I brought a while ago.
Yeah. This isn't the one you brought a while ago?
No. This looks much better.
I don't know, Dor.
Pika Sim.
So I know the backgrounds look better because, okay. A, we had one background. And the hang glider, I know, to me looks better.
Dude, I bet you if you look this up, we brought this one. He says, lastly, Frederick, the team leader behind adsy.me, has decided to end the project due to lack of take up, sadly. However, it'll remain available and online, but won't receive any more development. It's a bit of a shame in my book. Regards, Julian.
Yeah, it's a shame, and it's not really a shame, because here's the whole thing, okay? The first of something is never the person who's successful. So I thank Frederick for breaking that ice. Okay, somebody else will come along in a year or two and basically regurgitate exactly what he did, change a color a little bit, change a logo, call it something else, and then it might be popular.
Mm.
But he's the guy who put the idea out there and actually put it in the physical world, when it's really the digital world, on how to do stuff in like a one-page wizard-esque thing. And he did really good at it.
Yeah.
I agree, man. He kind of pioneered it.
Yeah. And I got to say, I'm so blind. Shush! Exclamation point Ringer Restore lets you silence your ringer for a length of time, and then it automatically comes back after that time period.
We brought that.
I thought my eyes are so bad, I thought it was called Sushi Ringer Restore.
The dot was dyslexic on you.
I'm just so blind. It's just all blood together. I'm thinking, Sushi Ring Restore. What the hell does this mean? This makes no sense.
I would have thought that too. I mean, especially with the wrong font, that exclamation might look like an I. Yeah, sorry, y'all. It's an honest mistake.
We've brought one very similar to this that does the same thing, I think.
Okay.
I don't think we brought this one. And we never did bring Pika Cam or Pika Sim before.
I stand corrected.
It could have been called something else, but we did bring something like it.
That glider did look cool, though.
Yeah. I'd like to try that. Richard writes, listening to your show for the past several weeks, and it has been like an emotional roller coaster for me lately. First, I hear Dor making disparaging references to driving a Kia. Wait a sec. I drive a Kia, a 2011 Forte, and I love it. I like the Forte, too, to be honest. I don't think you were busted on the Kia as much as you tried to get your wife to buy you a new cell phone, and it backfired, and she ended up buying a car for the family, right?
Yeah. I have plenty of ill will towards the Kia. Most of it is humor related, but I still, every time I look at the thing, I do curse a little bit inside.
Which one do you have?
Spectra?
Santa Fe?
No, I believe it's a Spectra, four-door.
Okay. The Forte is like, more like a smaller, sportier one, I think.
Yeah, this is four-door family mobile.
Okay. My parents have a Sorento. They like it. He says, then I hear Dor mistakenly denigrating our beloved weather network up here in the Great White North. Props to Eric for bringing the Weather Network app. It's what I use and one of the few apps that give accurate expected snowfall amounts. Well, number one, this is the app that had a 27-day forecast or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, then I thought, come on, Weather Network, that's too generic of a name.
Right. Right, yeah, I remember. You're like, it's like the Weather Channel. I thought the same thing.
And I honestly didn't. I didn't know it was the Canadian version myself when I brought it.
Yeah,
but I thank him for pointing that out to us. And yeah, it's got an impressive long range forecast.
Well, did you ever?
And according to Richard, it's accurate.
Well, Eric, did you ever test it? Did you ever go as far as you can, write down a piece of paper what it was, and then come back that day and see if it was accurate?
No, my arms were dragging as I walked away from the podcast studio that night after you guys put me down, and I was uninstalling it with my little fingers as my phone was rubbing on the ground. I couldn't even go back to it after you guys berated me for it.
I don't think
I think he's just looking for sympathy. He's full of crap.
No, I you know what? I don't have it installed anymore. I should probably install it again just to check the accuracy, because now this is the time where you could really test it, because we have weather right now. It was actually sleeting yesterday here.
Wow.
And it's going to be 80 tomorrow. So.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds nice.
Welcome though. To the Midwest. I don't know why we get tornadoes. I have no idea.
He goes on to say, so while Dor was on a downward slide in my books and Eric was on the rise, suddenly it all came tumbling down. I'm still wondering how Eric ever thought bringing a Kardashian app was even remotely okay.
Boom.
Props to Dor for calling him on it. And through it all, I hear Steve denigrating the Pop. Sheesh. I've been running it on my Nexus 5 since it came out and I wouldn't go back. And yet, despite all this emotional turmoil, the sheer number of fun apps you bring and the sheer hilarity of Dor's creative pronunciations and Steve's subsequent corrections make it all worthwhile. You have quickly become my favorite podcast. Good thing you release episodes so regularly and frequently. Thank you. One further pointer to Dor. In Android 5.1, the pop-up notifications can be swiped upward to dismiss them from the screen, but still keep them up in your notification bar. Unfortunately, I think the exposed framework isn't yet done for 5.1, so you're out of luck if that's a deal breaker. Cheers from Richard Kieran.
I did not know swiping up. I seriously had no idea. But I just despise the fact that the very first time it even popped up, my finger was 99% of the way down to tap something on the screen, and then the pop-up happened. So it literally, I felt I had that instantaneous flashback, like in the movie Ratatouille, the first time the guy ate the bite of Ratatouille, and you saw him like zoom back to his childhood. As soon as that happened, I zoomed back into like 1999 and having some pop-up thing click up in front of me, and I accidentally click it, and I rage, like, close the window. I immediately felt that exact same sensation, and so I I had to get rid of it right away.
From what? What was the? What was it like?
It doesn't matter. I think it was Voxer popped up.
For no, my no, no. What was the 1996 thing that was popping
like
up?
Like a pop-up window on
Punch the Monkey or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, like okay, I got you. Like you're on Windows 98 mm-hmm. and you were on the internet and something popped up that way.
Right.
And it started and you had to hit close as fast as you could because it kept coming.
Okay. Right.
All right, I got you. I didn't realize you used Windows.
I agree with you, man. I hate anything on my phone when my fingers on route to touching something and something pops in the way of it.
Right. There's an easy programmatic fix. For the first X time that pop-up happens, you can't touch it. So if you are virtually down and it pops up, it won't count as you touching the pop-up. It'll like pass through it. It's a simple programmatic fix that I'm sure people who like 80% of their staff being PhDs should already be doing this without me telling them, but who knows, you know?
All right.
Thank you, Richard.
Aaron. Thanks, Richard.
Yes.
Aaron writes, "Hey guys, a quick email for a game I picked up from the Amazon app of the day a week or two back. It's called Quote Unquote. It's a simple crossword type game where you fill in the blanks for clues using pieces of famous quotes." That sounds pretty awesome. "Simple but fun. I've linked the Play Store demo below. I'm guessing you get less puzzles with the demo. The paid version currently has 150 puzzles with more coming, and the paid version is around $1. Cheers, guys." And he puts the link there. I'll put that in the chat.
$1 is a plenty fine deal to pay for a good app.
I agree.
I don't believe I've played this yet. The icon doesn't ring a bell to me.
Yeah, I don't remember this, bringing this one. Luke writes, you know what?
Nope.
I've been emailing back and forth with Luke. Luke, he works for, I don't even know how to say this, AmidUOS. Have you heard of this store?
Amid?
AmidDUOS.com. I'll put it in the chat. And he sent it our way, and he basically said, I thought you'd be interested in learning about it. And I thought it was a spam email, because I'm like, he's talked about our show, and he's like, I know that you're the host of the show, and I'm like, yeah, what do you like about our show? And I tested him to see if he actually listened. Yeah.
I did see that email.
Yeah, and he actually gave me good answers back, so I'm like, all right, you passed the test.
Right.
So I said, we'll check this out, but I don't know if we have yet.
Oh, yeah, there's no way this works.
All right, tell us.
It ain't going to work.
Okay, it's AmidUOS.com. Run Android apps in Windows mm-hmm. with Amidu. How would I say this?
Well,
Eric, how would you say that?
AmidUOS.
AmidUOS, okay.
Here's the thing. It's made by America Megatrends. America Megatrends has been in the computing industry
forever.
Since the BIOSes. 70s. Okay, since the 70s. But this isn't going to work because Android expects magnetometers, expects GPS sensors, expects axis rotational type things, expects touch, expects a lot more than that. And they're trying to run it in a virtualized environment. So most apps that need any of those things will hard crash or not work right. Number one. Number two, you want to run in your operating system a virtualized container that then runs a virtualized Java environment. That's like two big hurdles to overcome. I've never seen, this is literally like the seventh or eighth project I've heard trying to run Android apps on a Windows desktop. None of them have been able to do it. I don't expect these. And I'm a firm believer. Insanity is keeping doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different. I don't think they're going to be able to do anything different than anybody else.
What if your Windows machine is a Surface and it's got those sensors in it, and they have a way to route to them to get the information that they might be.
Well, first off, nothing on Windows is long-term stable. Everyone's has different configurations on every computer ever. Because the split second you get a Windows computer, you have to start installing all kinds of stuff to make it your way. It still has the registry. It still has a 12-year-old file system. I cannot believe it would run at all smooth or good or stable or anything.
But if it's in its own container, it doesn't care about the registry or any of that stuff.
Well, no, but if you want to communicate back with the host OS, like the touch of the screen and the other sensors, that all depends.
I suppose, yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times in my life. Just ask my wife.
You have a dual booting tablet, right?
I do now, yes.
Is Windows one of the things it boots to?
Windows 8.1 with Bing.
So this could be...
I know, maybe. But it dual boots to Android.
So you can run Android. See, there you go. You can run Android on both of them. Get rid of that crappy Windows partition. Just run Android on it too. You know.
Would you be willing to try this door?
Sure.
Try it free for 30 days. I mean, if somebody's going to pound on it, I might download it. But I don't pound on things as good as you.
Yeah, I've got a touchscreen laptop, but it doesn't have like. Any other sensors at all other than the touchscreen.
Well, and mine does. Mine has in it genuine 3D. The Android is a full phone. Okay. So it has everything that Android expects, and then it dual boots to Windows. So if it is going to work, that is the system where it should work. I'll say that. Number one, I'll give it a shot, but don't.
Luke wants to know what we think about it.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. Well, hey, wait a minute. It costs money for me to buy the app. Is he going to pay me for my personal experience?
You can try it for free for 30 days.
I'll give him the first 30 seconds for free then.
I'll tell you what.
Boy, he's hard, man. This guy.
I will. If you want it for longer than 30 days, I'll contact Luke and see if we can work it out.
I'm just picking on Luke.
American Megatrends, they got to know their stuff, right?
Okay, it's kind of like saying Texas Instruments, Eric. They have some certain credence with their name. But also remember, they were popular for something called BIOS that people don't use anymore. And
they got some great
Texas Instruments
still.
Was known for calculators, and we don't really need calculators anymore. So they're a good name. I'm sure they've done great things. They have the word America in their title, but so does the gas station owned by someone from another country. But, you know, we'll see. I don't want to. I just want to be really shocked. I will happily come back and say if I'm wrong, but I'm going to be really shocked if this even works at all.
All right. Well, Luke's curious about it.
Well, he can buy a $200
tablet. Best Software Mobile World Congress 2015.
That doesn't seem much to me. And by the way, the device I have is called a Cube i6 Air 3G. It boots up to Chinese text. That's what that's the first thing you got to do.
With a name like that, I would guess.
That's awesome.
I got a car that's a cube. I should get that. I should get that tablet just so I can have two cubes.
Biggest shortcoming, only 32 gigs of internal space for both OSs, and there's literally like 9 partitions on the drive. It's scary. First time I opened
up. Is there a micro SD slot?
Yes, micro SD, I believe, can go up to 128.
How many gigs of RAM?
2. Quad-core Intel processor.
All right, boys. Well, I think we're good to go on emails. Thank you guys for sending them in. We got a bunch more. We're going to read them next week, starting with Les Zaldor.
Oh, good news. Good news, people. Sean Johnsoni loves Sushi Ringtone Restorer. Shush Ringtone Restorer.
That's because I thought he brought it.
Well, he just one-upped it and said, love this app.
Just now?
Just now.
Where?
So apparently he doesn't have time to be on the show, but he has time to listen and troll our community. Thanks.
Sean listens, so we could hear all those times when you're kissing his butt. It's actually going into not falling on deaf ears.
Well, no. All it means is that he's watching the community. It doesn't mean he actually listens to the show.
Okay.
And it was brought by Sean, episode 171. And then it was brought by Eric Ardini, 163.
I didn't look the Shush app up. I was looking up the Pico Fly simulator. I didn't look up that one.
I told Sean to watch out too. He's in Tonawanda, whatever, New York. Cars are being quote unquote broken into without being forcibly broken into using a new thing called technology. Listen to Steve Gibson Security Now. Find out more.
Okay. Interesting.
I got a, I got a kind of an email from somebody through Google Plus. It was like a Google Plus that was directed towards us. I don't know if you want me to bring it. I don't know if I can find it fast enough anyway. Maybe I'll bring it next time we do the show.
That's a great idea, seeing as how we have a bunch more that I didn't read because I think we're out of time.
Okay.
But
thanks for bringing all those that we don't have time to read, though. I appreciate all of them.
Yeah, we will get to them. I know
when we have more time, because right now we're clearly out of time.
Yeah.
I mean, don't blame me. Blame the network. These are network rules. No, I'm just kidding. There's no rules. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed it. Tune in Friday where Eric might read that one. We'll see if we let him. and we'll just do some tank emptying. If you don't know what that means, you gotta find out on Friday. Later.